Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
This week's visiting critic is Julie J. It's one of those women who does pretty much everything, basically. Comedian, she has a podcast as well. She writes a parenting column for the Irish Examiner, which means she's also a parent, and she's a teacher and everything. And recently now, there have been reports and surveys saying that DIY in the home is down. People were not taking up our tools anymore in the house. People are struggling with the basics like light bulbs and wiring a plug. What's wrong with us at all? And when Julie J told us about her minimal confidence in a hammer, sure, we just sent her out woodworking for the crack. Julie J, good morning.
Oliver, how are you? Thanks so much for having me on.
Live, bio from Ballinignal Studio in Kerry. Kerry, where you're living and you're very Kerry associated now, I think.
Well, I mean, thank you. Yeah, so basically, so we're coming live from beautiful West Kerry. And of course, I like to consider myself a bit of a Kerry-Kildare hybrid because my mom and dad, of course, are from Kirkcaldy. So we were always here. So Dingle is definitely home for me. So coming live from beautiful Ballydavid.
Dingle and Dangle, as we have to say. Are there things in life that scare you? That because you seem to do so much, it doesn't feel like.
Things in life that scare me. Well, I'm a very nervy, neurotic person, Oliver. I am every comedian cliche going. I'm just an anxious wreck. I mean, there's something wrong with all of us. That's why we're all doing comedy. So I'm definitely a nervy wreck most of the time. And I would say generally when it comes to things like comedy, I'm pretty okay. Even though then I was laughing because I was telling your researcher, I did have the worst gig of my life last week, and it was a scene. Do you know that scene in The Joker where he comes out? And I had to laugh because only comedians would talk about this scene. That for me was the most terrifying scene.
It is, yeah.
Not when he's on a murderous rampage, it's when he goes out in the comedy club and there's nobody there. So I did have that experience last week, which was it was a real point of learning because it has been many years since that happened.
In your career, that's a surprise. What happened?
It's pretty bleak, Oliver, that it's happening this many years in. Yes, it has been a long time. So basically, I was up in Belfast and look, we don't blame Belfast at all, but there was a few mixed messages. I was doing an Oscuilge. People didn't seem to be aware it was Oscuilge.
Oh, no.
So it was the first time ever they were looking for refunds before I'd even stepped on stage, which is a bit of a low moment. So look, I wouldn't say I'm on the fence now about a United Ireland. I definitely still want it to happen, but I feel we need to just push it down the line a little.
Just because of that.
Guys, but we're delaying it for a couple of years because I wasn't happy. Not to make it all about me.
Of course, Kerry people only want a 31 county United Ireland. They will exclude Tyrone at all costs.
We don't mind Tyrone.
Monaghan people are very confused about. I know you talk to people in Kerry now. That's where the viciousness is towards poor old Tyrone.
We love anyone coming here spending their money, basically, Oliver. That's our metric.
Hang on, it's supposed to be a shared thing. Anyway, let's not get into that debate now. We won't solve it.
We just love anyone with cash. Okay, go on.
I last saw you supporting Joanne McNally on the Prosecco Express, and you certainly didn't look like someone who ever had stage fright in their lives.
Oh, thanks, Oliver. Thanks a million. Poor old Joanne now, you know. I mean, things really went downhill for her career-wise after that. I know. Bless her.
Are you a former and then current school teacher? What's all?
Well, so I am a teacher by trade, which will surprise nobody that meets me because there is a serious whack of moonter off me, Oliver. But I have actually returned teaching as of this year because although I do love the comedy, I also love mortgage approval. So I have gone back. I have gone back and I had to laugh because obviously teaching in Dingle, now I am very much part-time, but it's a lovely school, Public School Kirkcaldy. And I was delighted to get the few hours, but I had to laugh because obviously in Dingle, everyone knows it. You know each other, and it was gas because the first day I went into my fifth years, one of the fifth years said, "Oh, Julie, how's the comedy going?" And I said, "Well, Owen, I'm not being funny, but obviously not too well if I'm here with you, love." Like, so I mean, it is that kind of, you know, it's very tongue in cheek, but should they take no notice of me?
It is true what you say though about comedians and mortgages.
Oh, but sure, listen, because my husband, I chose wrong, Oliver, because my husband is also a comedian and you would not believe how hard it is for two professional clowns in their mid-40s to get a mortgage with two dependents. It's outrageous.
Ridiculous.
I mean, we've gone from 2009, you know, you might meet a fella from Monaghan in the Big Tree of a Wednesday night. You'd wake up on the Thursday morning and the two of you would have mortgage approval. You wouldn't even know his surname. And now for 120%, Oliver. And now we've gone to the next extreme. So surely there's a middle ground.
And I mean, Fred Cook seems like such a together person. I mean, I don't see why the bank would take one look.
Harry could be listening.
Oh yeah, okay. Might be like, obviously he's doing something else. So anyway, we sent you where? Tell us where you went.
Oh, I had the best day, Oliver. I went to the Goose Island Workshop in Castle Gregory, beautiful Castle Gregory. Mm-hmm. And I did a stool making workshop with Gary. I was just thrilled with myself. I just had the best time.
And Gary, who's Gary?
So Gary is amazing. I mean, he is just, talk about a man who does everything. Such an interesting guy. So Gary is obviously a woodworker, but he's also a bit of a historian, a bit of an anthropologist. I just loved him. I could have honestly stayed chatting to him all day. I'd say he was exhausted after weeks. I would not shut up. But it was gas because I was going down, and even the old husband, Fred, I was saying to him, I'm going down to make a stool. I'm so proud of my stool. And then I had to clarify, I was talking about a chair. So just to be clear, because people were getting very confused. So essentially, I went down to make a chair. And what I loved about Gary, because you know, sometimes you do these workshops. So basically, he's all different. You know, he's week-long workshops. I did the one-day one where you come away with an absolutely stunning three-legged stool. And what I loved about him was you're just straight into it. Like, you know, there's no PowerPoint presentation.
Oh my God.
There's no kind of like, you know, going through that. It's just, he did say to me straight away, he said, listen, people learn by doing. So there's no point me telling you something. Let's just do it. Now, he's very health and safety conscious and all the rest.
Yes.
But I did just love that you're just straight in there with the plane.
And it's a long day.
Do you know, it flew by. I mean, it's basically there's one session in the morning and then one in the afternoon, and then you come away with this. I'm obsessed with my chair. Like I was saying,
I have
Fred,
it here in studio. Fred brought it down for us, and it's gorgeous. I mean, it's a three-legged stool, like a milking stool, you would have called it way back when.
That's what Gary was referring to that as. Yeah.
And initially, I went, I had doubts. This is so good. I went, someone just make that from scratch. She's never done woodworking in her life before.
And it's all down to Gary's magic. I mean, it's sturdy.
How did it begin?
Heavy. So essentially, he got the owl legs, and obviously the legs are, you know, I mean, needless to say, like rectangular. And then he put the leg in the vise. And I kind of thought, oh sure, I'm just going to be, you know, sitting back here as a voyeur.
I nearly broke your stool. It's beautifully turned and smooth legs now on the chair.
Thank you. It's been a long time since somebody has commented on my smooth legs. So thank you so much, Oliver. So we put it in the vise and then essentially just started off planing. So obviously the rectangular leg had to go curvy. So then my favourite bit was we put the leg into the lathe, and then I was turning that, and like it's proper, you know, it's proper woodworking. I mean, I'm a woodworker now. I really feel, I said to Fred in the evening, I said, I think I could rewire our house at this point. I just was so confident when I left. So we did the turning on the lathe. We did three legs. So I was kind of relieved now with that because I thought it was going to be four legs. So I was delighted.
See,
with
be three and no more. That'll be it.
So I was delighted with the three as a mother of two small children. So I was like, oh, this is great. And then, do you know, I loved as well, even the gluing. Sure, I thought we'd just whack a bit of PVC glue on. But as you can see, like chair is unbreakable.
I'm looking at the arse of the stool now.
We did the joint. We did the drill. Now, the drill was a little bit scary. But
there's
Gary
drilling involved as well.
There's everything involved.
All sorts of tools. My God, the puns write themselves really.
And you know what? Well, it's funny because I kept saying to Gary, what weapon are we using? And he would have to correct. No, tool is the word. Tool is what we say, not weapon. But it was really wonderful because you get to do all the skills. So you're turning, you're sanding, you're planing, you're drilling. You do everything. I cannot speak highly enough. Everyone would love this. It's an entire day where you essentially do all the basic woodworking skills. And I just could not get over how much knowledge I came away with.
I put the stool on my Instagram story. I thought you would have done it. I mean, I'm useless at Instagram, but it's up there for people to look at. I mean, it looks like a proper thing that you'd pay quite a lot of money for.
Oh, 100%. I mean, Fred couldn't, like the hubby now cannot believe it when I came home with it because it is a legitimate piece of furniture. So again,
lovely face from your husband, obviously.
He couldn't believe it. But I think I kind of thought I knew I was making a chair, but you know the way you kind of think to yourself, oh, I'll be coming away with the spice rack kind of thing. But it's actually something you can sit on, and it's just
fully,
so it's a wonderful thing to do. And then also, which I hadn't factored in, but Gary was only saying to me as well, so obviously he gets a lot of, you know, people around Castle Gregor and their alibobs and all the rest, but if the weather's bad, it's just the perfect thing to do of a day.
Very good. And it's Goose Island Workshop.
Yes.
Which is in the Gaeltacht area of Kerry, over on that side of things. So you're flat out busy. And Camille, I'm very sorry to hear that you had a tough time there in the last few months. You lost your dad.
I did. So it wasn't really expected. So obviously my mother-in-law actually passed away at the end of November.
Yeah.
And then it was a very surreal moment in time, because then 2 weeks later, my dad actually got a stroke and passed away. So he was buried in beautiful Dingle on the 23rd of December. So the day before Christmas Eve. Yeah.
That was Johnny Johnson.
Yes. And he was an amazing person.
Very well known, wasn't he?
Oh, he was hugely popular. I mean, I had to laugh because, you know, so many people came up to me after his death and said, you know, he was the real comedian in the family. And you know, it was such an Irish thing to say, but also so true.
Was it?
He really was. He was very, very funny. You know, he was just a gas man. I think that's kind of why I got into comedy, because that was always our language, I suppose. We always dealt with things with humour. So I had to laugh even for his eulogy. I decided to make it funny, Oliver, which was, you know, I mean, an artist's choice. Yeah. So I didn't elicit many laughs in the church at Dad's funeral, but I, you know, it was a tough crowd, you know, yourself. But I wanted to do it for him because he was such a funny guy. I really wanted to make it funny. And I did say, you know, even in it, I had to laugh. He actually took the re-election of Donald Trump as a personal affront.
Okay,
so I think that could have been what pushed him over the edge. So look.
Did you say that?
I did mention that. So again, I've got a few head shakes in the audience. But look, Dad would have appreciated it.
Ah, that's lovely. He was a Garda.
He was a guard. He was a guard for many, many years. And he was a big reader, like super smart, hated injustice, and just great crack as well. He was just a gas man.
People were coming up to you telling you to get onto RIP.ie. What was that about?
Oh, yes. So I did have to laugh because so many people were, people were telling me to go onto RIP.ie because he got so many comments and so many people. It was funny because so many people said to me they had never seen so many comments for somebody. So I still haven't brought myself to go on RIP.ie, but because I kind of felt like, look, I'm not going to learn anything about my dad that I didn't know from RIP.ie, if that makes sense. And I suppose I still probably am to emotionally ready to do it, but I did giggle because Mom was saying, you know, a lot of the guards, because he was a guard, you know, you might have a message. I think his number was 7008818 or something, and then they'd write up messages on RIP.ie. They would see a message and it would be from 700819, and it was real, like, as in, you know, you'd swear they were James Bond, like CIA yeah. levels of, you know, cloaks and kind of cloaks and daggers, I suppose, with the official numbers. But it was lovely, and I did make the joke again, you know, I don't know, was the eulogy the place, but between my mother-in-law dying and my dad dying right before Christmas, the Chris Kindle was tricky. It really was, because half the people were deceased. But we still played on with the Chris Kindle, Oliver, which is fairly impressive.
You got a very nice message, a text from a friend of yours.
Oh no, who?
Well, this is a story about you, isn't it? About losing a parent, and this is a club nobody wants to be in.
Oh, yes. Well, I did, because I write for The Examiner. So I did mention this in the column that I got a lovely... I did have a lovely exchange with somebody, and actually, funny, it wasn't even somebody I was particularly close to. It's interesting how in these moments of grief that people can come out of the woodwork, pardon the pun, because we were just talking about woodwork.
It's perfect.
And really, you know, say something that connects with how you're feeling. And somebody did say to me in Dingle, it was actually when I was in, I was doing the Christmas shop on Christmas Eve. So we were very lastminute.com because we'd only just did the funeral. And she came up to me and said, look, Julie, you're in a club now that nobody wants to be in. And then I did say to her, I said, can I ask, you know, does it get better? Because obviously it was totally heartbroken. Myself and my dad were exceptionally close. You know, I can honestly say I don't think anyone will ever love me the way my dad loved me. You know, it was the purest form of love. And I did say to her in that moment, I said, oh, you know, can I ask, does it get better? And true to West Kerry form, she said, well, look, no, it doesn't get better, but do learn to live with it.
Yeah.
And actually, those words of honesty in that moment, it did momentarily sting, but it gave me such comfort. It did.
Oh, that's lovely. Thank you so much, Julie J, for the conversation,
Oliver,
and for the beautiful stool, which we'll send back down to you, obviously.
Oh, I'm not letting go of that stool.
And I must mention as well that you're an ambassador for Seacht an na Gaeilge, Le Energia.
Yes.
So say Gora Mai Agat if we can. So that's what we'll say. Gora Mai Agat, Agat Slán.
Gora Mai Agat, Oliver, Slán.
Have a lovely weekend.
Slán.